Hi there, Coach Antonio Aguirre here for the Life Deck Show. I'm very excited to bring you so much value in each podcast episode, like this one that you're about to listen to. Well, I do hope you enjoy listening to each episode just as much as I did recording this for you. All right, let's dig into today's episode. Let's go. Why law? I mean, why did you take up law? Like, is it from family or is it your personal decision? What made you take up law?
Actually, so I graduated with a dual degree of political science and economics. So I was always torn between law and business. And so when I went back from the States, I took up law first in UP. And then parang I decided that I wanted to do business. But there's a program in LaSalle that did a dual degree of business and law. So I entered into that program. My dad told me, try mo na lang kasi nasimulan mo na yung law eh. Kung ayaw mo talaga mag-law, then drop the MBA. I dropped the law and then continue your MBA. But I ended up finishing both. Sinabay ko rin, law and MBA. And, you know, funny stories because I don't know, diba sa unang panahon, mahilig sila mag-aral kasi may, diba, my brother is a lawyer, my dad was a lawyer also.
Right.
So they would always stay in the library to study para hindi guluhin ng tao.
Of course.
I studied in Starbucks or coffee shop. And they never understood that. Di ba mga ngayon, yung mga kabataan ngayon, di ba?
Wait, can you really focus? Well, like,
yun
on
nga,
a Starbucks,
yun yung tinatanong nga sa akin.
Oo, yeah.
Yeah, di ba? So I would always have my earphones and listen to classical music.
Okay.
And have my corner. So alam na yan, pagpasok na ako Starbucks, alam na ng mga barista kung ano yung mga gusto ko, ano yung mga iinumin kong coffee, handa na. Tapos parang alam mo nila yung space ko kasi I'll be there 7 in the morning when it opens until like 7 p.m., di ba? And so my dad would always tell me, you're not going to graduate, you're not gonna get good grades, ganyan. Because I was a working student. So I was working and I paid for my tuition.
Wow. Okay.
And para hindi makita yung grades ko, di ba? Pag yung parents mo kasi yung magbabayad, sabihin na lang, alakan yung card mo. Yes, yung ano mo, grades mo, di ba?
Yeah, as long as your parents are the one paying for your tuition and giving you your baon and everything, you are their employee. So you follow their rules, all right? So if you don't want to follow their rules, better make your money on your own, guys. Okay?
Yes, that's right. But, you know, with the hard work that I did and through Starbucks, nagpa-plug ako. Sana marinig ako ng Starbucks para pwede ko na silang, di ba,
pag-plug. You're really a coffee fanatic, huh?
Yes, I love coffee.
What's your favorite drink?
Americano with white chocolate. Next time, pag magkita tayo, bigyan mo ako, ha?
Yeah, sure. That's a promise.
So, my dad was saying to me when he was still alive, he wasn't going to go to my graduation kasi LaSalle yun eh. Buong pamilya ko, Atenista. So, syempre, diba? Diba siya? Parang, hindi ako pupunta sa graduation mo unless valedictorian ka. Ginanon niya ako. Tapos nag-aaral ka pa sa Starbucks. Hindi talaga ako pupunta sa graduation ko. On the day of my graduation, the family didn't know I graduated valedictorian.
But they did go because you were valedictorian.
Yeah, parang my dad was saying during lunch or parang brunch namin kumakain. Kasi sabi, ayoko na nga pumunta. Sinabi ko nga sa'yo, kailangan valedictorian ka. I kept it a secret. Sabi ko, hindi, huwag kang umakit ng stairs. Huwag kang umakit ng stage. Kasi valedictorian ako. Sabi niya, seriously? Sabi ko, oo nga. Sabi niya, but I haven't seen your script. I haven't seen it. Sabi ko, yung speech ko daw, parang hindi daw niya ako nakita nagsulat ng speech or anything. Sabi ko, ay, so kaya nga surprise. So,
that is a flex, guys. That's a sim flex. No, it's not even a sim flex.
Grabe. Pinaghirapan ko naman yun.
Yeah. I know, that's well deserved. So you were studying and working at the same time. What were you doing as a job back then?
Well, actually, the easy thing about it is I was working for the family business. binabayaran ako to help my mom. With the family business, and that's what I used to pay tuition. And wala na akong allowance, mom. But
Did you have any side hustles in while you were studying?
In New York, when I studied there, I had three jobs. In the library, I was working for a non-profit organization that trained mga previously incarcerated people to start their own business. Because the in the States, they usually don't hire people who were previously incarcerated. Yes. So it's hard for them to make a living, right? So we would train them. And minsan, nag-waiter-waiter sa mga ibang-ibang lugar, mga under the table, which I shouldn't be saying kasi diba, hindi na nila ako mahabol, nasa Pilipinas na ako.
But, okay, the thing here is that you studied also in the States, right?
Yes.
Okay. What did you take up there?
Political science and economics.
Okay. And then how long was that?
That was for 3 years because I did 1 year in Ateneo. Hindi ko na naman sinabi sa parents ko. The funny story is I was in Ateneo and then I remember my mom saying that she wanted one of her kids to go to Fordham in New York because they were able to visit the campus. And so what I did was I asked my brother, Kuya Coco, Congressman Coco Nagales, for $50 for the application fee. So tinago ko na naman sa parents ko na mag-apply ako. And then I got in with a little bit of scholarship. And so, wala silang magagawa kahit mag-isa ako doon. Sinabi lang nila, don't come home with pregnant or with, diba?
You have two siblings, right? And they're all, three. They're all guys?
So, my sister, the eldest, is a doctor who's in the States. Okay. And then two boys, si Chair Carlo and Congressman Paul.
Okay, so your eldest sister is a doctor and not a lawyer?
Yes. No.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to ask.
It's a different path.
Right. I was going to ask, how is it being in a family of, all lawyers?
My sister's a doctor. And then Chair Carlo is a lawyer. My brother naman, Kong Koko, MBA siya. So I'm the one with the law degree and the MBA degree. Konti na lang mag-doctor na rin ako para makuha ko yung tatlo. Hindi, joke lang. Hindi ko na kaya.
Okay. So, with now you're practicing law currently.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm practicing law now. Yeah.
I have here a few questions that are really... these questions are mostly searched right now in Google by people with regards to law. So I want to get your views and opinions and, share some facts about these types of cases. So the first one would be one of the hottest topics currently, which is Violence Against Women Act. Can you tell me more about that? Can you elaborate on that kind of law?
So it's Violence Against Women and Children Act, VAWSI for short. VAWSI. So kasama yung children yan, hindi lang babae.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, diba, this is a hot topic. We're not gonna name names, but but this is a hot topic now. And what really comprises of VAWSI or violence against women and children are four things. No? There's physical abuse, there's psychological abuse, there is sexual abuse, and there's also economic abuse. So if you are a victim of those four, it can fall under VAWSI. for both children and women. The interesting thing about this is that most of the people think you have to be married to be able to be convicted under vow C, right? The woman has to be married to the guy. But it's actually committed by an intimate partner. So it could be an ex-husband who did any kind of abuse. It could be a boyfriend. It could be someone na live-in mo lang. It could be an ex-boyfriend, a fiancé, or even if you're just dating. Diba? Oh, casually dating. Okay. Hindi yung mga one night lang, ha? But yung casually dating. Then that can also be covered under vow C.
For example, met each other through, let's say, an online dating app, mm-hmm. and then you met for the first time, then something violent happened. It's the same thing.
Well, if that's a one-night encounter, no, that wouldn't really be considered casually dating, that wouldn't be considered sexually or dating a relationship. Then if something happens, then that's rape or acts of lasciviousness or whatsoever. But if there's already a relationship, I don't know when it's considered really dating. If it's the second date, the third date, if there's already an intimate relationship ongoing, and you are physically, emotionally, psychologically, or economically abused, any of those four, then that could fall under.
You mentioned about economic. What does that mean?
Yes. It's basically when the guy will kind of make you financially dependent on you. You know how guys will lure you and say, sige, I will cut off your allowance yung mga ganyan. And then you have no choice but to stay and be abused. That's economic abuse.
Wow. I get those messages in my inbox from women that, you know, they say that exact thing, that my husband or my partner is threatening me that he will cut off my allowance. Paano sasabihin niya, parang, paano yung anak ko? We have children, or, you know, we're paying for something. And he threatens that. And every time, mm-hmm. I have to beg, they say. So they ask, what can I do to protect myself from that? Because she's just gonna say that I'm either a housewife or a homemaker. So she doesn't really have a job and she's really dependent with the guy. And then I didn't know that it's really a type of abuse.
Yes, it could fall under economic abuse. So you can go to your kapitan in your barangay and file a complaint. And that could fall under vow C, under economic abuse.
Okay. Is there a gravity, is there jail time for this when this happens? All of these vow C?
Yes, there's jail time. I'm not exactly sure right now how long it is, but there's a jail time and a fine for that if you if you're found guilty of vow C.
There's no death penalty right now for rape.
No.
Right?
There's no more death penalty. I mean, it's just suspended. They can say there's death penalty, diba? But then you can't really do death penalty.
So for rape, that's how do you call it? Like, it's actual rape that proven that it really happened.
Yeah.
What's the worst?
Reclusion perpetua, meaning you'll be in jail for about, I think, 50 years, 60 years.
6 years.
50 years or six years. Reclusion perpetua.
Okay. So that's a lengthy time. In your opinion, should we bring back the death penalty? Is that something that will
elevate? Sorry, that's 20 years to 40 years ang reclusion.
Wow, that's still long. 20 years is almost like a lifetime loss for you.
Yeah.
Right? If you're for example, you're a 30-year-old guy, you lose 20 years or 40 years, 30, 40 years of your, that's a lot. Mm-mm. Right? Mm-mm. So, guys, think twice if you're going to do something really, really wrong.
Yeah, something don't rape girls. Basically, don't do that.
It's one of the worst things that you could ever think of for someone, like a girl that you like. And That's one of just yeah. really a
and the
horrible...
psychological yes. impact Effect. That could yeah. do to the girl is sure. really terrible.
I'm really curious, like, why do a lot of women go off the record or never really go public about this happening to them, like vowsy or rape against women? Is it really because they're really ashamed, or is it what's the common thing that women really actually feel about this when this happens
you know,
to them?
You know, this is funny because I just came from a show, and then one of the questions was someone saying that her father sexually abused her when she was 8, and now she's 20 and just coming out right now about wow. it. Yeah. And there's a prescription period for this, which is 10 years. So she actually cannot anymore file a case against this. And wow. I'm very much very vocal to all the women out there. And I always tell them, if you are being abused, mm-hmm. if you are raped, if you are being violated, you have to be strong and stand up for your rights, because we have rights for that. I think it's a Filipino culture that the girls...
Women are submissive, no?
Yes, it's a Filipino culture, because if you go yeah. to the States, the women there are more vocal and they're more
right.
Yeah. really going to go straight to the police, or right. you'll see it, right? Mga, what do you call that? Sa atin, hindi malipit.
I think it's an Asian culture thing. I mean, like yeah. in Japan, in Korea, even in China, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. women are very timid when it comes to like being public about, parang it becomes shameful for them, when in fact you should be open about it, that it really happened to you. Like most of my yeah. friends that I know of that had that kind of thing happen to them, they don't really want to talk about it publicly until after a few years pa. Maybe it's because of yes. the psychological damage that it does to them.
Right? Yes. So, and it's also, we go back to the culture, right? We go back to the culture of the women just really being afraid to say something, because let's say you get sexually abused and there's no witnesses. It's also being afraid yeah. that no one will listen to you,
no
and
one
no one
you.
Will believe you, and then ikaw yung mapapahiya in the end.
Oh.
So there's a balancing act on that,
diba? Right. Okay. I don't know. It's a funny question, but what if it's the other way around? Is there something for guys? I mean,
yeah,
it's a possibility too, right?
I'm asked this. I'm always asked this. Okay. This question. There's no law that protects the men. If you are being physically violated by a woman, then you file for physical injuries.
Okay.
Yes, but there's no violence against men. And I
Not
think
physical, but
the
anything vocal,
verbal. Yeah, slander. Yon. That's only slander.
Okay. Mm-mm. Because women can be very hurtful for all. I mean, women can really
yeah.
be hurtful also at times with their words, especially yeah. when they're really emotional. They can utter really the worst words they can say to men, and you know that really.
Sana wala kang hugot dyan, ha?
No, because a lot of guys also go to me and ask for their advice. Yeah. They have, you know, partners that really are abusive in terms of words. I haven't
yeah.
had an experience when a guy gets abused by a girl, like, you know, physically, because, you know, women will, unless she's a UFC fighter or something, right? And the guy is just,
yeah.
you know, an average guy. I mean, as a guy, kaya ako salag-salagin yun eh. Pero if it's words,
yeah.
sometimes really, it's really, and I think that's the concern of most men that get berated with words by women. So that's the only thing they
yeah.
can do.
And I guess it's also Filipino culture why we still don't have a law like that, because if it's going to be passed, right, parang sino naman din lalaki sasabihin na inaabuso siya ng babae, diba?
Yeah.
Right? And you know, I have some friends who are even physically abused by their exes. And they come to me, and I would always tell them, there's no law that would protect you except if you're going to file a case against physical right. injuries lang.
Okay, so bottom line is, if there's any abuse going happening to you, you go straight to the police, like the nearest police station, right?
Yes, or your barangay.
That's it. Don't go to your friend because your friend might not be able to help you. So go straight to the police station and, you know, they'll put it on record right away. Right? Yeah.
Actually, so under Vowsy also, sa mga marites dyan, no? Sa mga chismosa, if there are two competent witnesses, let's say your neighbors who can hear that a woman is being physically abused, right? Usually you can hear that then.
Yeah.
The neighbors can be the one to file the complaint in the barangay.
Oh, they can.
For the women. So the friends, if the friends, you know, your friends know that you're being abused, your friends can be the one to file the complaint instead of the woman.
And that's a good marites right there.
Yes.
With all yan the
yung
negative.
Dakilang, yun,
yun ang dakilang marites.
Yun dakilang marites.
That's doing the right thing, actually. If you hear something like that regularly, if you have a neighbor like that, that you feel like you hear that all the time, and then paglabas niya, parang kita mo, parang galing sa wrestling match. So that's a cause for concern already. I've also seen some videos nga of women parang making a signal na that they're being abused.
Yes, it's trending now on Facebook, right?
Right, I've seen that on Facebook.
And like, then there's a number that they call. Sana may ganyan din sa Pilipinas.
No? Oo, parang SOS or something. Mm-mm. Parang ganun. It's a call for help. So be cautious then when someone does that to you. Like they tap you, all of a sudden hindi mo kilala, tapos they do like some sort of hand signal on you.
Yeah.
I think that's an SOS eh. It's a cry for help. So it's something that you can do as well, you know, if you can't do anything. Yeah. That's very interesting. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Next one that I want to ask is about cyber libel cases. So, like, how far
ito na
yung
talagang
you...
dakilang marites. Ito na.
Oh,
ito
yeah,
na
yeah. No. Like, in layman's term, can you explain to us what cyber libel means? Like, the easiest way that, you know, someone can understand. Yeah.
So, if you are going to post online, or any social media about a person that is identifiable, the person is very much identifiable,
right,
especially if there's picture or the name is there, on something that's defamatory, meaning it will discredit the person, it will give dishonor to the person, you would say something against the person, like this person committed a crime, which is not true, and it has malicious intent, which is usually malicious in fact by law. So it's already kind of by our law, there's already malice implied when you post something against someone to their discredit or dishonor. Then that's basically cyber libel.
Okay. So
I hope that explained it easy in an easy way.
Yeah, I've seen cases before. Kasi like, you know, I remember that guy that said he has a bounty for the president if he, like the guy that tweeted. I remember that.
Yeah, di ba nahuli yon?
Oh yeah. And he was really sorry about it for saying that. But it's not like the government's like flexing on, you know, your right to public, and what do you call that, like
public speech,
the freedom, so freedom of speech,
freedom of
right
speech, yes.
So
there's always not... a fine line, right? There's always a fine line between that, the freedom of speech, and also posting. So what makes it cyber libel is when you discredit, dishonor, or you cause contempt of a person,
right?
That's when it becomes libelous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why I always say, think before you click. Send. Like, do you think it's gonna hurt a lot of people? This usually happens on social media, especially on Facebook. I mean, Twitter can be, you know, very what do you call it? Deadly. For people who are not ready to stomach the comments that you will get. Some
There's a lot of trolls also.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people deactivate their accounts because of the hurtful words they receive on Twitter, like the backlash that they receive on that. And Twitter is really unforgiving. It's very savage. If you're not ready for, you know, the backlash of you saying something, Twitter is not for you. Mas forgiving pa nga for me ang Facebook tsaka Instagram, pero
yeah,
with Twitter, it's really savage. It's really unfiltered. Like people, you know, and sometimes they go really overboard, and you know, Twitter will go after you, but it's not like Facebook and Instagram. So I tell guys, be careful what you put out if you don't have really proof of
yes.
it.
So always check your facts also.
Yeah, always check your facts. Make sure you can say something, right? If you want to say that it's your opinion, you can put a disclaimer. This is just my opinion, right?
Yes.
It kind of protects you, right?
That will save you. Yeah.
Right. Because there's a difference between you saying that I think that this person is that, in my opinion, rather than I know for a fact that this person is doing this and that, selling illegal drugs or something. That already is a claim, right?
But so, also, because you're already identifying a person, even if you say, I think this person is like this, it's still going to be considered cyber libel because you're already identifying a person.
Okay. What are the legalities that you'll face if ever you commit something like that?
So cyber libel, you can either get criminally convicted for imprisonment and a fine. I think that's about 6 years, I think. And a fine.
Okay.
I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember ilang years, but parang 6 years siya. And there's also a fee for it. Pwedeng umabot ng 1 million yun eh.
Wow. There's a fine so, up medyo, to 1 million?
I think so.
There's this case, I think celebrities facing like a 1 billion cyber libel case. Is that possible?
Yeah. If that's what the judge will say, that it's enough grounds, no?
Wow, then, 1 billion. Yeah. It's crazy. But it can really happen, huh?
Yeah. Because libel is punishable from about 6 months to 6 years, and or a fine of 40,000 to 1.2 million. Cyber libel is a higher degree, so that increases naman the penalty, and it can be from 2 years, 4 months and a day to 8 years imprisonment, and then a higher fee, more than 1 million. So,
Even if you delete your tweet or your post, if na screenshot na siya, yan din, wala na. Kumbaga, it's out there. Like when you post something online, it's out there. So, you know, kumbaga, yun nga, it's like what you said, Tori, meron na siyang resibo.
Yeah, you know, I always tell this also because I would have some clients wherein they took a screenshot and then if you look at the Facebook, it's deleted. Actually, the PNP Cybercrime Division Unit has this like technology, whatever. You can submit the screenshot, you give your phone, they'll look at the phone, they'll look into it, and then they can see the post again or whatsoever. So, you know, screenshot save you. That's an evidence. That's a piece of evidence that you can use.
Okay, with cyber libel, who do you report it to?
So there's a PNP Cybercrime Division Unit. You can file a case right away in the court where you live or where the defendant lives, where it happened. So basically where you live, right? Because it's targeted, because it's online. So you can just file a case where you live. But it's easier to do it through the PNP Cybercrime Division Unit because they're the ones who will really guide you.
Like sometimes the problem is the one that does a cyber libel to you could be like a troll account or let's say, you know, not a factual account, like, you know, a, what do you call this?
Dummy account.
a dummy or an alias na sikat, yes, for example. This, yes, maraming ganun eh, like, you know, it's not a person, it's just someone hiding behind an account that has a million followers, for example, on Facebook. And then, mm, you don't know who that person actually is. So, mm-mm, what can you do pag ganun naman?
That's why you go to the PNP Cybercrime Division Unit, you hand in your phone, and then usually they have this whole technology or whatever to be able to trace and find out who it is. So, yeah, that's why I always advise my clients to go to the unit, especially if they don't know who the person is.
Okay. All right. So, guys, if you have that type of concern, make sure to take note of that. All right. Okay. I saw an article about Scarlett Johansson versus Marvel Studios. There was a breach, mm-hmm, of, it was sort contract, of a breach of contract. Like, and then, yeah, they had to fix it and stuff and settle on a common denominator to have it worked out. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that kind of, like, breach of contract? It's normal, right? That you have, yeah, contracts with you and a company or another person, a business, yeah, partner. What happens with a breach of contract?
Well, I think what had happened there, right? Black Widow came out and then, yeah, she had the contract with Marvel that it was only exclusively going to be just for theater. Like, papanood mo lang sa movies. But then they simultaneously played it in Disney Plus.
Right.
So there was a breach of contract in her terms. So she filed a complaint on it. But they settled it. I always tell my clients also, it's better to settle than to go to court, right, because going to court will always take you long and with
mas magastos.
Mas magastos talaga siya. So it's better to settle. So it's good that she settled. And then I think wala na sa Disney Plus yung Black Widow, right?
So that's an important tip always for you guys to remember. Don't go to court. Like, yeah, as much as possible, fix it behind or outside the court. If you can settle it, amicable settlement, yes. Right. So if you can always do that, do that as much as possible, because it's gonna, yeah, take so much toll on your finances, yeah, and just also on your mental health as well.
Yes. Just a tip also, if you're going to sign any contract, not just Scarlett Johansson, right? Any contract, right, look at the penalty clause. Because sometimes, most of the time, the penalty clause is like twice as much as whatever amount they're going to give you, the compensation. So
I have a question.
If you breach your contract.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I get a lot of contracts. Is it good that you always show a friend who knows how to read contract, that's a lawyer, to read long, I mean, thick contracts? Like, I mean, 3-5 pages, that it's fine. But when it comes like 30 pages na, 40 pages of contract that you have to sign every page, is it good that you actually ask for legal help from someone to actually check on it? Baka may super fine line on page 35 na,
yes,
you have to give everything that you own in exchange for, yes, something.
Yes, it's always better for a lawyer to really look at it, because those thick contracts, they're usually standard contracts, and then you don't see that there's a sentence there that could implicate you, that could already make a breach of contract that you missed.
Right.
And it's always good because the lawyer will know and the limitations of what you can do and not do from page 1 connected, yeah, to page 35 or connected to page 50 or the annexes that's attached to it. Always have at least a person who knows how to read contracts to make sure that before you sign a contract, you know your limitations so that you don't breach it.
Right. Because I've had a few clients of mine that are music artists, I'll say music artists na lang sila, and they had a contract with, you know, with a music label, and then, you know, they were tied up, and then, you know, they were promised they're going to be paid a certain amount of money, but then it said in the contract that they have to reach a number of songs that they have to produce in a certain period of time or else they don't get it. So may mga ganun. So it's always best that you always ask a lawyer if you're okay with, the lawyer will always ask, are you okay with this? Na sabi niya, ganto, ganyan. Okay ka lang ba dito? Kasi if you're not okay, you can have this change, right? So those are, huwag kayong basta papabulag when it comes to money. Like when someone's paying a huge amount of money and there's a contract involved, always check what's in it. And it's always best to have a friend that you can dial and send if it's a PDF file or what. Have them check lang. If you have, you know, some doubts. Hindi naman, ano, yes. I mean, sometimes kasi you have a gut feeling that, you know, na parang feeling mo lugi ka or some parang, diba? We always have that kind of gut feeling. And sometimes our gut feelings are right. So, it's,
yeah,
hindi
so,
naman siya magastos eh.
You also, it's also best, one of the best practices to do is to be part of the negotiation of the contract. Yung hindi lang binibigay sa'yo yung contract. Makipag, diba? Makipag-negotiate ka sa terms para alam mo yung pinapasukan mo.
Yeah, like the length of your contract, how much you're gonna get, is it staggered, and things like those. So, marami kasing fine lines in between. So, you have to be careful with those when signing on. I've made those mistakes in my 20s. I've signed so many contracts wherein I could not get out in certain things, not just for employment, but contracts when, you know, when doing certain jobs. Mm. So, it's so hard and tedious, and it's just a hassle. So, that's why if you can't, if you have friends that, you know the basics of contract at least, that'll be really, really helpful, right?
Yeah. You can, or you can ask attorney.
There. I mean, you can send attorney links a DM, right? That's why you for sure you receive so many DMs also from people, no?
From every day.
I think it's really part of the role that, you know, lawyers actually play, right? Like you really have those questions from people. Na for you it's so basic when I ask something like this, but for me, like, I don't know that, right? I'll have those.
I actually enjoy it because I teach law, so like, you know, and it helps me kind of still keep myself like be in my toes, diba?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it keeps me up to date also, and makes me research and makes me reread the laws. But I do get a lot of questions, and I understand that most of the people, of course, who are not lawyers, don't really know even the most basic things, right? And what they can do.
Right.
And everyone wants to know if what they're doing is right, or how to guide them, or are they in the right path or not, right?
So as a lawyer, it's always continuous learning for you, right? It's always like reading new things, updates.
Yeah. Yeah, as a lawyer, we have a thing called mandatory continuing legal education. It's MCLE siya, that we have to do X number of hours for how many years to be updated sa law. So we keep on studying. And especially if you practice law, you always have to keep studying because of the cases that you handle. So it's a pretty boring life.
I have a question. For example, I mean, you have a party list now, PBA, and then, for example, you win, right? And you're in position. Are you not allowed to practice?
I'm not allowed to practice.
Right?
Law.
I heard that thing before. Like, you cannot practice when you're in position in the government. Right?
Yeah.
You're voted.
It depends on which position in the government. Like, if you're a counselor, you can still practice law. If you're a vice mayor, you can still practice law. If you're mayor, you cannot. If you're a congressman, you cannot. If you're a senator, you cannot. National positions, you cannot.
Okay. So, for example, you have your seat in with your parties as a congresswoman. You can't practice law anymore.
I can't practice law.
But you can still give advice, right?
Well, technically, the practice of law is giving advice also. So, I can give it on the side. I can't really do the whole legal advice.
Something off, kumbaga off the record lang siya.
Yeah, like, well, what I think is this, but maybe talk to this lawyer. Parang ganon, diba?
Is it really a necessity? Like, you know, is it really a necessity, or is it just a plus that when you're in a national position like Congress or Senate that you really have to be a lawyer or have a good grasp of what the laws are?
Well, we have a lot of politicians right. in Congress who are not lawyers, right? And they're pretty good. And so it's not really a requirement. It's not in the requirement in the Constitution. But I would like to think that because you know of the laws, then you would know of the laws that need more fine-tuning, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
So it kind of puts you more on, like, parang meron ka mas plus just because you kind of know the laws that are existing. But your point in your job as a lawmaker is to create laws. So even if I study the law, about if given the chance, I will have to create laws. So,
right.
So like being a lawyer, not being a lawyer, right? You create laws. So the laws that I know, I can just like
okay. In a quick one, if you're in a position as a congresswoman, what would be the first law that you would try to pass?
Well, for PBA, right? Because I'm in sports, right? So we're advocates for sports. Really, I'm into grassroots support. So our laws are all like, we the athletes only get enough money. I mean, they don't get enough money, actually. They only get the money when they win in a game, in an Olympic game, a SEA game, those, right? But they never really get support. That's when true. They're training or when they're in the grassroots. So there's something that I want to study and kind of work with the schools, right, on how we can do support for grassroots or training palang. Not just them, but also the coaches, right? For them to be sustained. Because even if they win, you win what, 1 million? But you spend a whole life training. That's not enough. That's not
That's
not going to be enough to pay back how many years of life, how many years of training, and how much you did for the support. So that's one of the things that I would want to do. Also, for like, let's say, like PBA players, those who have teams, right?
The athletes.
In the States, the athletes. In the States, they're actually considered employees of the teams, so they get benefits. Here, our athletes don't get benefits. They don't get SSS, they don't get Phil Health, they don't get the standard benefits.
So if they get insurance, right? Do they get insurance when,
for example, it really depends on the team. It depends on the team if they provide that, right, with the benefits. But if you consider athletes as, let's say, employees, and they get the standard benefits under the team because they are managed by the team anyway, which they can be considered as an employee, then they can get the basic benefits, which would help them.
Right.
One of the things that I'm studying right now, looking into it for, I don't know, for PBA. So I hope that, you know, I hope that happens.
Actually, funny story. I used to train in the Philippine wrestling team in Greco-Roman for the SEA Games. So I was an alternate in the SEA Games around 2000.
Talaga?
Yeah, 2001 to 2007 until I got injured. I had a shoulder injury when I broke my collarbone while training with one of my teammates in the Philippine wrestling team. So we had allowances. I would call it allowances because at that time, I think, we were getting only about 8,000 pesos back then. As an athlete, that's a good thing for me. I have work and stuff, but like some of my co-athletes at that time, 8,000 is not really enough. Like the food that they eat, the amount of nutrition that they get, that they spend on for food is not enough.
Where you live,
also the gear. And some of the gear we have to get to sponsorships by and also it's very hard. Instead of the athlete focusing on just training, us training. Like, I remember training MWF 8 to 10. We would do morning oval training, track training. Yeah. And then afternoon 4 to 6, we would train physical training with our partner.
Yeah.
So
it takes
a lot of calories. We need nutrition for about 6,000 to 8,000, sometimes 10,000 calories a day. And, you know, if you're in a budget of 8,000, like, sardines and, you know, Enervons, he will not be enough for a national athlete. So yeah. I think
there's really a financial need for athlete support. The problema lang is where are we gonna get the funds? So hopefully, right? If we'll get a seat in Congress, we'll try to figure it out.
Yeah, because really, I mean, we're so happy when athletes win, you know, gold medals and have these accolades, but then behind the scenes, I know like most of the athletes that won, they have to ask for sponsorship or help from private individuals and companies.
Yeah. And those who get sponsorships are the ones who are really, really good. Paano naman my potential. Pero hindi lang nila nalalabas yung potential dahil right. Meron silang mga financial right. implications, right? So hindi yeah. sila nakaka-train 100%. So
correct.
Yun yung mga kawawa, diba? Oh. Yun pala, pwede pala silang maging next gold medalist. It's just they're having financial problems. Like
the Philippines has really excelled in individual sports more than team sports. So most individual sports really require a lot of support, not just emotionally, yeah. but financially as well. So it's really helpful that, you know, there's entities like, you know, PBA that can actually do that for athletes. Kaya, you know, it's... I feel the pain kasi. I remember the pain my teammates had.
I mean, ako rin atleta ako nung bata ako, but you know, I'm fortunate enough that, you know, my parents supported.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, my uniforms, 'di ba? Ikaw pa bibili kasi ng mga uniforms mo, ng mga sapatos mo.
Like,
'di ba?
Like for me, wrestling.
Paano naman yung mga iba?
Mahal yung gear namin, the shoes, the wrestling shoes that we have, the gear that we have to wear, the protective gear that we have, and besides that, the nutrition we have to spend. I imagine I was probably spending around 40,000.
Diba? Kung wrestling yun, may mga PT pa kayo. Syempre, nabubumbog kayo. Mahal-mahal ng PT.
I mean, when I got injured, my collarbone, my collarbone got broken. And I had to take 6 months away from training. And I paid for that myself. I didn't get any support from that. How about my teammates who are the athlete, kasi training team lang ako eh. So, training pool lang. So, iba yung sa actual na nagte-training and a lot really depend on that as a form of livelihood din. So, it's really important that, you know, we take care of our athletes as a country.
A lot depend on, like, the athletes depend on sports to also educate themselves, right? They can get scholarships through sports. So, marami talagang mga atleta kailangan na tulungan.
Oh, yeah. Also, sorry, I forgot. Like, when we were training in wrestling, we had to go to Mongolia. And some of our athletes don't even have the money to go from the Philippines to Mongolia to train.
Walang pang plane ticket.
Walang plane ticket. So, we have to get sponsorships from airlines, you know, the hotel, kung saan magsistay, kung... Mm-hmm. Kahit siksika na lang or all pating food in another country, mahal yun. So, all these things. A lot of our athletes that won, they actually trained in other countries. Hindi lang here na ano, para they can gauge themselves. So,
yeah, like right now, I know Nesty is in Thailand.
See?
Training. Diba? Right. Si Hidilin trained in, if I'm not mistaken, Malaysia or Singapore.
Yeah,
she
trained in another country because those are where the top athletes are as well. You can't just gauge yourself for globally and then you're training with, you know, homegrown talent only. It's not enough, eh? Like, that's why for us, for example, I train also in jiu-jitsu. It's important that we try to play also with people who are outside of our country, and that's how, you know, the game elevates itself. So it falls down to budget. Like, kaya nga sabi nila may mga sports na ay pang mayaman lang yan, like kunyari a fencing or archery.
Cool. Mahal ang gold, right? Oo, di ba?
I remember one of our top talents is sponsored by, you know, a big company. But kung walang sponsorship from that, paano yung ibang may potential like that person, right?
Yeah. So, I'm not saying, right, that I will solve that problem. But with PBA, we will try. Because it's very difficult. especially how to do that law, how to find the budget for that to sustain all the athletes, you know. But yeah, we will try.
I don't know any other party list that can actually do that for athletes right now, except for PBA. So it's really helpful if you're an athlete to support PBA, because that's what it does for athletes. So you are, you know, to vote. You're number 52. Okay.
Number 52. Sa likod ng balota. It's at the back of the ballot. All the party lists now are at the back of the ballot. So please don't forget. And you can only vote for one.
Yeah,
because
I know.
If you vote for two...
I have a question. Why is it that I can vote for 12 senators? I know I vote only for one president and VP, but how come I can only vote for one party list?
Because that's what the Constitution says. Well, it really started because it's a sectoral representation. So before, party lists were really small, right? It was just like a sector, this different sector would vote for. If you're a farmer, you would vote for this sector. So you only vote for one, you only vote for one. But now with the political atmosphere, there are about 140 plus party lists that are trying to get elected. So you can only choose for one. If you choose two, zero yung vote mo, sayang, diba?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That. So nananalify if you you accidentally shaded two.
Yeah. So sa PBA.
Okay. I have two more questions regarding laws. One is, I'm very interested in this. It happened to one of my staff. We're in, remember the BDO hack thing, like the bank thing that na-hack siya. What do you think about that? Are there any bank obligations involved with that? If that happens, like, for example, all of a sudden I have all my money is lost.
Not naman all my money was lost. But that happened to me. Kasi diba now, dahil online, may mga yan, yung mga like credit card na gamit yung credit card, diba? Oh. So what you can do is now, there's an internal thing with BDO that you call them, it takes 50 years before they answer. Hindi, joke lang. Tagal eh. Ang tagal kasi pag tumawag sa customer service, but that's the only way. And then you file a complaint, and it usually takes 30 days for them to do a fraud investigation on it, and then they will recredit it back to you. So it's very much internal now, but the bank can file for cybercrime if they get hacked, because it's cybercrime, and they have the obligation to repay you because there's a creditor-debtor relationship between a bank and you. So, because you put your money there, and there's the ones who's supposed to be, what do you call this? To ensure the security against any fraudulent acts, any hacking, then they're really supposed to pay you back. And sila na magbahala magkaso sa kung sino man nag-hack sa kanila.
Right. I mean, it's such a hassle, really. Like,
but it's a hassle to do. Yeah, right? You have to call. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine you're a regular employee, and then all your salary is gone, and then
sakit
you have to pay your bills and stuff.
Yun yung masakit. Yeah. And that happens. That's reality. So what you can do? The first thing you do is you call the bank. And you file for a complaint, and yun lang nga, it will take about 30 days because they're gonna have to do an investigation on it.
I know. So that's the best case that you can do as a person that happened. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Yun lang. Okay. Malungkot, no?
It is. I mean, anything regarding money loss is, it is depressing for a lot of people. But yeah, at least you know what you can actually do. I mean, focus on the things that you can do, not on the things that you can't do. That's what I always say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. One last question about and it is about Facebook. It's about the data privacy scandal thing. There's been a lot of cases.
The hacking also. No?
Yes, that they're all your information. They know so much about your tendencies, what you click on and stuff and everything. So what should netizens do should know? And any thoughts about this?
For me, you know, there's in Facebook, there's this automatic kasi siya, diba, that once you put anything there on Facebook, already consider that to be a public. Diba? So first, don't post so much unless you want it to be public, to be publicized, right? And also, look at the privacy settings. If you're gonna go to Facebook, look at the privacy settings, especially when you update. When you update, kasi bumabago yung mga privacy settings nila.
Oh,
so you look at the privacy settings and then you look at like if Facebook can do this and that, they can look at your profile, if they can, there are check boxes, right? If you go to the Facebook account and you go to the tools, I'm looking at my Facebook now, tuloy. Alam ko may kaka-update lang na ganun, tapos parang may hack na parang on your personal information, don't put it, there's now Facebook Pay, don't put your credit card there.
Facebook Pay. Don't put your credit card info
because now ang galing ng mga hackers eh. And diba, once you're already in social media, even if they get hacked and whatever, don't put also when you post pictures, and always tell everyone when you post pictures, don't post pictures where your car is there, your plate number is there, your house is there, your
Your car plate number can be traced.
Yeah.
You know, if someone hates on you, what they can do, they can ask Grab to deliver something to your house and you have to pay for it. So it's just a hassle to do that. Even your plate number can be reported, kunyari stolen. So it's going to be a hassle.
Pati yung location services, yung location mo. I don't do that. Yung mga locations, Instagram, sa Facebook, yung mga ganon. Don't do that. Don't put your credit card information.
One tip I would tell also to people is if you're in a place na you don't want people to know that you're there, delay posting it. Like kunyari, naka-alis ka na. Don't do it like super real time. If you're going
hashtag
on live,
late post. Ganun.
Okay lang kunyari, nasa concert ka or an event na maraming tao, pero if you don't want people to know that you're actually there and it could be dangerous for you, don't do it. Be careful when you know, you share your live status unless you really want people to know that you're actually there. Yeah.
Ako, I always check because Facebook always updates. I always check the tools and you look at the settings and look at the privacy and, you know, uncheck or check whatever that needs to be unchecked there to secure you for that.
Okay, so be careful. Really, guys, be careful what you post. Like, I've seen, like sometimes I just shake my head when I see my friends, you know, post their car, that you just bought their car. And then even the registration number, you know, the registration sticker.
People
can trace where that is, your address. And, you know, people that don't like you will do something very nasty with it.
Yeah.
I've seen those things happen to the best of them. So, careful. I mean, it's nice to share what you have and share to your friends.
Hashtag blessed, diba?
Hashtag blessed. That's fine and all, but be careful what you share. Sometimes yung plane ticket, they post their plane tickets. Sabi ko, don't ever post their actual plane
ticket. They can trace that, diba? Yung mga information mo. Kasi may parang barcode yun or something, diba? Lalo na.
And they can trace that. You can do, someone can say na, oh, there's someone on board in your plane that's a terrorist or something like that. They can play around and sabihin nila, oh, in that flight, there's a terrorist there.
Oh,
that's
pero cybercrime na yun. Oh, babalik tayo ganun. Sa cybercrime.
Babalik na tayo sa cybercrime. So, careful about that, guys. Be careful about the thing. Sometimes it's just too much information that we all share online, right?
That is true. So, be careful. Be careful with what you post, with what you before you click, be careful with your online life. Be private na lang, diba? If you want a quiet life.
Like me, people say I'm one of the most public persons, but my private life I keep it, you know, intact as well. But you can be public about your thoughts and stuff. But you know, when it comes to your private life, your sort of things that are important to you, be careful about sharing them because a lot of people really don't really want but what's best for you in actuality. Some people, envious and all
maraming
that.
Maraming inggitero sa mundo. Correct. Maraming marites sa mundo. Yeah. Maraming mga ganyan.
And some people would say, okay lang, maingit sila, mamatay sila sa inggit. And the time comes that it becomes a problem for you. You regret doing that as well. So,
yes, that's very true.
Yeah, if you're not ready, I mean, if you're not ready for the repercussions of your actions, don't do it, right?
Mm-hmm. So I agree. Okay. I completely agree with that.
If people want to get in touch with you, where are you mostly hanging out in? Facebook, TikTok, or what?
I do a lot. I do both Facebook and TikTok. So I have my Facebook account, Attorney Mix Nograles. Yeah, and public yon. So every Monday I do a live for free legal consultation. Nice. So 6:30 p.m. We do topics, and then there's a segment there that we do the live comments wherein I answer the questions. If you can't do the live, you can message my page, and then someone will get back to you. I'll get back to you with your questions, and then I'll give you an answer. So TikTok naman, you can follow me at Attorney Mix Nograles. There are legal concerns there, but there's also mga pakwela, pasayaw-sayaw, syempre, hindi naman kailangan laging seryoso.
I mean, dancing is a good way to catch attention of people, to share information and educate people. I've seen your TikTok videos as well, and some of them are really informational. So it's really the attention that the dancing and stuff that really gets attention, and it's good to have fun. I mean, at times, right?
At saka PBA tayo, so kailangan magpakita na, diba, we dance, we do sports, we do energetic. Because, of course,
what sport do you play right now?
Right now, badminton.
Badminton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss playing badminton. Kasi wala akong kalaro dito.
Baka wala akong kaibigan.
No, ako, table tennis kasi yung laro ko eh. So, I have a table tennis.
Ang hirap nun.
Oh, I used to be a varsity in high school and college. So, it's like riding a bike.
Ikaw naman yung nagpapasimplex ngayon.
that's what I really like doing back then, table tennis and basketball. Those are my, some of my competitive sports. But, sports is really fun. That's what I'll say. It doesn't.
And
really
sports gives
age.
You. Sports gives you discipline. That's what I would always say. If you're an athlete or you love sports, it gives you discipline. It trains you to be a hard worker and to never give up on whatever you want to pursue. Right?
For sure, and that, my friends, is a great mindset that sports can actually give you. Right. So. That's it. That's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for ending this conversation at Attorney Mix. I really appreciate you. And I'll see you again, guys.
I had fun. Bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. If you found value in today's episode, make sure to share it and tag me on your social media accounts, and I'll do my best to repost or comment on it. Follow me on Instagram at antonioaguirre.jr. Leave a comment about this episode and subscribe to me on my YouTube channel, Coach Antonio Aguirre Jr. I'll talk to you soon on the next podcast episode. All right? Peace.